I wanted to spend some time today discussing with you the inyan of Zecher Tzadik Livracha and how we use it. But before that, I wanted to go Keseda with Tegra. We're doing Mishlei Perek Yud, and we spent a lot of time on Tzedakah Tatzel Mimavas. So we're up to Pasuk Gimel. V'yariv Hashem Nefesh Tzadik V'havas L'shoyim Yehedof. Zok Tegra V'yariv Nefesh Tzadik U'neged Orev. Amash L'yariv with a, like the Ra'avain is a hunger. V'yariv Nefesh Hainu Harotzen Shel Tzadik U'memali Ritzoinoi. V'zehu Ikar Ha'orev Shenismali Ritzoinoi V'tavosoi. Havas Rishoyim Yedoy Favala Rosha Avsha Isa Havas Hainu Avla Shagozal Vachoimes, Vishvil Shayamal Ritzoni Bitavosai, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yedoy Mimenov Loi Sasik Tavosai. He won't be Masik Lo Yasik Tavosai. So the going, first of all, is telling us that there is here a contrast between the Tzaddik and the Rosha. But it's very interesting that the inyan of Lo Yariv Nefesh Tzaddik means the Ratzon of the Tzaddik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow him to be hungry because he's Mamali Ritzoinai. It's not clear if his intention here is Ritzoin Yirei of Yaseh. By the way, the Pasuk of Ritzoin Yirei of Yaseh is a very fascinating question that we have to ask, that many Mefarshim asked, and there are many different explanations. Ritzoin Yirei of Yaseh means that whatever they ask for, what is their ratzon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfills. So why Eshavosam Yishma V'yoshiyei? There's no need for Eshavosam, Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh. Eshavosam Yishma V'yoshiyei sounds much less than Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh. Sounds like they're in trouble and they cry out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves them from the tzara. But Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh sounds much more than that. First of all, it doesn't speak about a tzara and a yeshua, because Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh could be in positive things. So, and if Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh, when does it become a matzav of Eshavosam? So the Brisker Rav says a fascinating thing. He mentions the Gemara about Reb Chanina ben Doisa, that he got the leg of gold and he gave it back because he didn't want to have any hanor from Olam Hazeh at all. So he says, Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh, he asked for it and he got it. And then he started crying about it because he realized that he made a mistake, that this was something that was going to be menake from his reward in Olam Haba, from his makam in Olam Haba. He won't have a shulchan that is malay, that has normal legs. So he has to take it back, v'eshavosam yishma v'yoshiyem, from the Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh. That's how the Brisker Rav understood it. I wanted to make a suggestion. You see a remarkable thing. There's a concept in Chazal which we don't fully comprehend. When I say we don't fully comprehend, it's not that there's a problem with the words. The problem is with our understanding the idea. For example, it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'aveh l'tfilosam shel tzadikim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires the tefillah of tzadikim. He wants to have the tzadikim daven to him. Then it says, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to make tzidkaniyos barren, for example, so that they should daven to him. You have the tefillah of Chana, you have Yitzchak and Rivka. This one davens in this corner, this one davens in the other corner. It's an unbelievable thing. Being an Akara is a horrible matzav. It's frightening, it's depressing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants their tefillah, so he makes them in such a matzav that they should cry out to him. It's a very remarkable idea. What I wanted to point out to you, though, is that this idea you find not just because mis'avelit filosin shel tzadikim. It's much deeper than that. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants the kesher. He wants a very acute connection. And that connection, b'derech klal, is a stira when a person has easy hatzlacha. First of all, crying for something is much more profound in the nature of our abilities, of everyone's. than being grateful for something that you received. Hakaras HaToiv comes infrequently, and it's a difficult midah. You see, HaPam Oida Es Hashem. Why HaPam? What about the first child? You expect it. That's your chelik. The second child, the third child. That's your chelik. That's Leah's chelik. That's what many mefarshim explain. HaPam Oida Es Hashem, I got more than my chelik. And it's a remarkable thing. When a baby's born, the person is present at the time of birth, and they realize that this child, a moment ago, the mouth was sosum, as the Gemara says, and the mazon is coming from the umbilical cord, and all of a sudden there's a person in front of you who's screaming for food. Mamash, a miracle sheba miracles. And there's not a person, maybe on earth, that doesn't sense the miracle b'shas ma'isa. But how long does it take till the person is already past the idea of the miracle? By some a day, by some maybe a week, by some tzaddikim maybe a month. And then life takes over. The baby cries all night, and you say, "Oi, where am I going to have the koyach to be soivel this?" That's human nature. Hakaras HaToiva is a very difficult thing. And for many reasons. And again, I emphasize, as we've mentioned in the past, that in Yiddishkeit, the Dogesh Chazak was on the word Hakara, Makir Toiva. Hakara means to acknowledge because you recognize the Toiva. You see, there's no word in Yiddish, in Lashon Kodesh for thank you. The word Toida is an artificial word. The word Toida, the same loy Toida, means Hoida. And even Hoida doesn't mean thank you. Hoida and Vidui is one and the same. How could Hoida, meaning thanks, and Vidui, meaning confession, be the same word? Again, because the point is acknowledgement. That's the Tzad HaShoveh. Acknowledgement is Hakara. Hakara is a very difficult thing. Sometimes we don't appreciate something because it's too demanding of us. And sometimes we don't appreciate something because we don't even realize the value of it or what its benefit is going to be. When a person doesn't have something that he thinks he needs, and especially if it's genuinely important, bonei, chayei, mezainei, it's much, much more in the human nature to cry out to Hashem for something that you need than to thank Hashem for something that you got. It's just the metzius hadvarim. That's inherent to all human nature. That's why I believe to maintain that kesher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes getting something, even for people who deserve it, and even if he promised it, he makes it very difficult. Because he wants them to feel their dependency on him, so that they should cry out to him with a tremendous level of emunah. Always wondered, and there are many other explanations for it. I'm not saying there aren't other explanations, but this is one of them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out a very tired and suffering people from Mitzrayim. He intends to make this incredible nes called Kriyas Yamsuf. He wants that they should pass through and that the Mitzrim should be destroyed. And this could have been accomplished chick-chack without the slightest problem for Klal Yisrael. They did not need to feel that they were caught between the Mitzrim and the Yam. They did not need to cry out. They did not need to feel desperate and in despair. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said to them, "You're coming out and the Mitzrim will chase after you." And Moshe Rabbeinu informs Bnei Yisrael that nothing is going to be a problem. And I'll prove it to you. Look at the Amsuf in front of you. It's not there anymore. It's all dry land. And then Bnei Yisrael would have passed through. B'simcha u'b'tzahala. Why does the Ribbon Shalom have to make it that even a Nachshon Ben Aminodov has to go into the waters, Higiyu Mayim Ad Nofesh? What do you need that for? One of the answers is, and again, it's not the only answer. And there could be many layers. There doesn't have to be one answer. But I believe that one of the answers is that even though Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh, but it doesn't come, a person sits in an easy chair and he legislates what HaKadosh Baruch Hu should do for him. Even if it's Yireyav, even if it's the highest Madrega of Yireyav. It comes in a mode of Eshavosam Yishma V'Yoshiyeh. The person feels a tzara, he feels a tragedy, he feels an impending, looming danger. And then, in that tzara, he cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shavosam. And from the Shavosam comes the Yeshua. This is a derech in the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Tzadikim. And the Mela, when the Pasuk here says, La'yariv nefesh tzadik, that haratzen shel tzadik HaKadosh Baruch Hu is memali ritzoinoi, so it does not mean necessarily that this arev comes easily or glibly. Ritzayin Yireyav Yaseh, but Ve'eshav Osam Yishma V'yoshiyem is the way in which Ritzayin Yireyav Yaseh. I always pointed out, I think it's also in the Briska Rav, but in any case, every time I look at it, I'm not sure. But whether it is in the Briska Rav or not, you have a Pasuk, Kavel Hashem, Chazak v'yam itzlibecha v'kavil Hashem. So the marshal of two brothers, one was exceptionally rich, and the other one, Nebuch, was exceptionally poor. As rich as one brother was, that's how poor the other one was. He had nothing, but he had a good brother. So the brother that had always took care of the brother that didn't have. Since the brother that didn't have had tremendous needs, at every turn there was something that came up. Here was a house, here is a shidduch, here is a whatever. So the kesher of that dependency was extreme. The person who needs, and the person who gives, had an unbelievable kesher. And the hana of the giver and the satisfaction of the one who received that this came from his brother was lahafli. They couldn't be closer. They spent hours and days together and they felt for one another. Now vayhi hayoim, and the Oshir brother decides loizu haderech v'loizu ha'ir. It's not right, he tells his brother, that I should always come to you and save you the last minute. It's not right that you should feel like a oni ba Pesach. Why should you always be desperate? Why should you always be inferior to me, subordinate to me? I'm going to do something, and with the Ribbono Shel'olam's help, your mazel will change, and you'll be matzliach, and you'll have your own. So he put him into a business. He lent him $1 million. He made a factory for him. And Baruch Hashem, the factory was successful. And all of a sudden, this fellow who was poor all his life suddenly began to have, and finally made it big. And he was rich and successful in a way that he never even imagined. And he was no longer in need of his brother's help. And, of course, this was Givaldic. And suddenly they discovered that intimacy and the time that they spent together, he was very busy, the other one was busy, he didn't need him, so the other one didn't think about him so much. And before you knew it, they had a certain measure of cordial relationship. He had a lot of hakar sato for the past, but it was not the same at all. The Baruch Shalom has an unbelievable kesher with the Ani. Tefillah lo Ani ki yatoy v'lifnei Hashem yishbak sicha. How does the Ani survive from one day to the next without bitachon? Kavil Hashem. When the Ani has bitachon, that is an unbelievable connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam provides, and he realizes that it must come from Hashem, then he has this feeling, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reciprocates, there's an intimacy. The Ribbono Shel Olam provides for the person everything that he needs, and all of a sudden doesn't need the Ribbono Shel Olam so much. And all of a sudden the tefillahs take on a different shade and color, and they become fewer and further between. And all of a sudden the person's kesher to the Ribbono Shel Olam is something of the past. You know the famous Kotzke Vart. The Kotzke said, Nachash Ofa Lachmai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu curses the Nachash and he says, V'Ofa Soich Al Kol Yemei Chayecha. Says the Kotzke, what kind of klala is that? It means that he has parnasa wherever he goes. Ofa Soich Al Kol Yemei Chayecha. But the Nachash Ofa doesn't taste bad. That's what he eats. He finds himself his things in the ground and he eats them. So was is as a shlecht ad rabba, the opposite of bezeya sapecha toichalach. He doesn't have to work, he doesn't have to suffer. And it's ubiquitous. He can find it wherever he is. There's offer everywhere. So what is that a klola for the nachash? So he says, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to the Nachash, I'll provide you with everything, but I don't want to see your face. I don't want to know from you. And that is the biggest klal of all. The Nachash never asks because he has it already. So this yesod, this vart, is the point that when someone has bitachon, the kasha is, what is the Ribbono Shel Olam going to reward him for that incredible midas habitachon? If he's going to shower him with gold and silver, if he's going to give him anything that the heart could desire, then there goes the midas habitachon. For what do you need bitachon anymore? I have it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not reward a baal bitachon with the material goods, with the hatzlocha of his physical matzav. So what does he reward him with? The ability to have bitachon in greater nisyonos. It's an unbelievable reward. Who wants such a reward? Who wants those nisyonos? But the truth is, everybody has nisyonos. There's nisyonos of all kinds, in all inyonim. Nisyonos of health, nisyonos of panasa, nisyonos of children, nisyonos of having children, nisyonos of your own personal hatzlocha, of the aliyah, of your madregas and avodas Hashem. Everything is full of nisyonos. You walk into the street, it's nisyonos. You deal with people, it's nisyonos. Talking is nisyonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards the person with an extra koyach to have a connection with him, even in the darkest moments, which before he would not have been able to prevail. Which before he would not have felt the presence of Hashem in that nisayon. It would have been too great. It would have been too much of a challenge. He would have denied the Ribbono Shel Olam, like the Maisa with Eiv and the Satan that we spoke about. So the fact is, and this is the pshat of the Pasuk, Kavel Hashem, what is the reward? Chazak v'yamitz libecha v'kavel Hashem. It comes out that this is very similar to the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu mis'avel l'tfilosan shel tzadikim. He doesn't allow for the natural, he doesn't allow for the taking for granted, he doesn't allow the person to be able to say, Ribbono Shel Olam, maybe I don't need you as much as I used to. He doesn't have the capacity any longer of needing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a tragedy. That's not a plus. That's a tragedy, because with that comes less of a kesher. And that's exactly what happened with those two brothers. He became an usher. and he's not dependent. It's not even Nama de Kisufa anymore. It's Gevaldik, is it not? But there's no Kesher anymore. Not that Kesher that used to be. So that is the Nekuda of Esh Havosam Yishma V'Yoshiyim. This is the Yisoid, and it's a remarkable thing because a lot of times it says V'lo Yura Isi Tzadik Nezah V'Zara Mavakish Lochem. A lot of times you see V'Zara Mavakish Lochem. So there are different Teirutz into that also. But the fact is that sometimes that's a reward. V'lo Yura Isi Tzadik Nezah means abandoned. But sometimes the Vizaru Mavakesh Lochem is the opposite of being abandoned, even though it's hard for us to digest something like that. Because we would like to feel that Yiddishkeit is, well, you know, they have sometimes these preachers that say, God wants you to be rich. He wants you to be successful. So go ahead and get it done. You know, this is, we don't have that hasoga. That he wants us to be rich. We don't have a hasaga that if you believe in God, whatever you touch will turn to gold. There is no such thing in our Yiddish hasagas. There is no such thing as that at all. It is true. There are certain things that's ashrecha b'olam hazeh. First of all, ashrecha b'olam hazeh doesn't necessarily mean wealth or material success. And even by Avraham Avinu, that he had success and so on. Thus is Abazunda Gazach and Gansen, many Sfarim speak about it. The fact of the matter is that the connection with the Ribbono Shel'olam and the concept of rewards Ba'olam Hazeh is a very complicated parsha, which to the eyes of the beholder, because we don't have the capacity to think more deeply, and sometimes we simply don't have the capacity even if we try to think deeply, we look at Hatzlocha that the person has what he didn't have yesterday. We look at Hatzlocha as a person is fulfilling his needs and desires. And we look at Hatzlocha as something that dulls the pain of life, that eases life, that makes us happy. And the concept of Hatzlocha that's based on that is not the Hatzlocha of Kavil Hashem Chazak V'yam, it's the Bechav of Kavil Hashem. But then you're not like the Nochash either. Because you need the Ribbono Shel'olam. To need the Ribbono Shel'olam is a tremendous plus. Nisyonos Yisurim Chavivim Alecha Yisurim Lohem V'Loischorim. Yes, because it's very hard for us to be soivel them. But when a person cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in pain, whatever that pain is, and we don't want it, we're not asking for it. But if it happens, it is in fact an opportunity, believe it or not. My father, Zayn Gesundten Shtak, used to say over for years and years, I heard it from him. What he learned in Pinsk by the Nevadika. The Nevadika used to say that Yisurim Be'etzem, you see the stipler, he comes from that same cheder, from the Bialystok Nevadika. He said the same thing over and over again. Yisurim, if a person understood what Yisurim do, what they accomplish, it would be Mekabel Yisurim Ba'ava. My father used to say that the Bali Musa and the Vadik used to say Avada. But that's Bamedvar Mamurim if you can be Saibul to Yisurim. But what happens, unfortunately, is that when a person has Yisurim, he's Bayit in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He rebels. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam, why are you doing this to me? You have no right. I'm not such a bad person that I should suffer so much. And why does that person not suffer? And I have to suffer. I'm much better than he is. That's Bayit B'Yisurim. And from being Bayit B'Yisurim, you come on the verge of Kfira. That's why Yisurim are so difficult. Lo'ihem v'lo'ischarim. But in principle, Yisurim is the connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam of a certain kind of hergish and a certain kind of tefillah that can never be duplicated in any other mode. When you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu because the person feels totally helpless and totally desperate. So that's layariv tzaddik doesn't necessarily mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him everything he wants, ke'ilu. You know, you call up the grocery store, Landau's Mountain Fruit, and you say, I want one of these, and I want one of these, and I want one of these. Send me, you know, 5 pounds of potatoes and a, you know, little chalons for Shabbos. And this is not what we're talking about. Now, the opposite is very obvious, although it doesn't always appear that obvious. But we understand it to be very obvious. Whatever a Rasha gains, he is in the process, in his rishus, he acquires and achieves, and he looks eminently successful. In that, there is a rot. It's like a person would be drinking an elixir of sama moves. And it tastes so good, and it smells so good from a distance. And the person that sees him drinking this, and he smells it, he says, oh, are you lucky? You have it all. But he's drinking poison, Rabbi say. And soon he's going to be lying there, kedoymen al pnei asada, dead as a piece of wood. And then what do you say about all of that? But we don't always have the privilege of seeing the results of that samamodas. The pasuk keeps telling me, these ill-gotten gains, the person is not only not getting, but he's actually going to suffer immeasurable loss. And that's what he says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yahadof mimenu v'lo yasik ta'avosa. The next pasuk. Rosh oise kafre miyo v'yad chorutzim ta'ashir. Rosh is interesting that it's with an aleph. It's not Rosh, the head. It's Rosh, a poor person. Ani v'Rosh. Rosh oise kafre miya kloimar. Masha oise kafre miya. Kedeshius asher. Va'adar rabba kafre miya oise oise l'Roshu misroshesh. So how did he read the first half of this pasuk? He inverted it. Kafre miya oise Rosh. The Rosh becomes a Rosh on account of the Kafremiya. Not that the Rosh does Kafremiya. It's the Kafremiya that makes the Rosh. Rosh oise Kafremiya. V'yad chorutzim. Zeh she shoykel be'emes. What does he mean, shoykel be'emes? He says, when a person weighs honestly, or Shaykel means he gives tzedakah with integrity. He gives what he should give. So such a person is ma'ashir. So says the Goyin a very beautiful pshat. V'oit shekoyal atzedakah, misha oise kafremiya, a remarkable idea. A person has a palm of the hand, and he has fingers, and together they are his hand. When you take your fingers and you insert them into your palm, you form a fist. Your hand is closed. So the fingers, is as it were, are kind of missing. All you have is the kaf. Because the fingers are not extended, you don't have a full hand. You just have the kaf. That is the imagery that the Goyin is trying to show us. So he says as follows. He says, Shahakaf hu adho etzbois. The kaf is the palm that's up to the fingers, the solid part of the hand. The yad, when you speak about the hand, bichloluso in general, hu kol hayad ho etzbois imakaf. When you speak about a yad, you mean everything, the palm and the extended fingers. The zehu, and this is the pshat of this pasuk. He says, Rosh oise kafremiya kloimer, mi shekoyfef etzbaos l'toch hakaf, v'hakol etzlo kaf. By taking the fingers and putting them inside his palm, the fingers are useless. All there is the palm, as it were. V'hakol etzlo kaf, v'hainu, shekoyfef yodoy militein tzedaka. When does a person have only a palm? When he doesn't stretch out his hand. When he closes his fist to keep what he has because he doesn't want to give it away. Pasayach tiftach es yadcha, the pasuk says. Open your hand wide. Don't keep it clenched. So he says, when it's a kaf remiyah. So he says, that oisa oisa l'rosh. But v'yad, isn't it beautiful? Kaf versus yad. If the kaf is opened and the etzbos are freed, and now you have the etzbos plus the kaf, what is that called? Yad. Yad charutzim tashir. V'yad charutzim tashir mishe yodot psucha lakoyl al yedeze misasher. That's like aser b'shul shetisasher. V'oy, now he says another pshat, which is very interesting. Shekoy ala toira. Shakaf remiyo mishaloymed beremiyo v'haynu she'enoy loymed shorosh hadinim rak hakitzur dinim. B'chdei laharishu yoydeya kol adinim. It's an amazing. B'zeh oysa oysa l'rosh. Ki l'saif she'yishkach gam oysam machmas she'enoy yedeya shorosha. Oysa oysa l'rosh. Ki l'saif she'yishkach gam oysam machmas she'enoy yedeya shorosha. Avo yad chorutzim mishaloymed hadin im shoroshay v'yoydeya kol das v'din tashir she'yeda akol. You know, it's very interesting. The Gra is talking here about a person that learns, and he's it's an interesting thing. He wants to appear that he knows everything. So he tries to memorize, he tries to learn and to assimilate a huge amount of information on the surface. But he never has the interest to go and delve deeply into something. Since he doesn't really know what he's talking about, he is by definition a rosh. But the person who goes into the Sharashi Hadinim, he has the ability, even though it's an infinitely harder avoda, in learning. He has the ability to extrapolate, to be meivin davar mitoch davar, and to fully understand something. It's a very powerful statement over here. I mean, we have bechlal, the human being has a teva. It's a kind of laziness in the final analysis. I don't necessarily attribute it to anything nefarious. You know, nobody. We're not talking about a scoundrel, somebody that's trying to fool the world into thinking that he knows it all. It's a certain laziness. We are happy sometimes not to ask the questions that we need to ask. We're happy to read a Rashi and say Rashi says this, and Rashi says this, or Rashi says this. What is Rashi really saying? And why is Rashi saying it? And why is there machlokes Rashi and Tosfos? And why did Rashi say it this way and not some other way? It's too hard. It's too much work. So many times we accept things without even realizing that we don't understand it at all. Because a lot of what we do is translating, not comprehending. There's a tremendous difference between the two. That's why sometimes little children who are too innocent to understand that you could do that, that you could be superficial, they ask about the kakashas. Because by them, it's not pashut. What is this? But when you become an adult, it's like that curiosity is very severely tempered by habit and by laziness. We get lazy. We have a samodne koyach to accept things. And it's not a frumkeit, by the way, to accept things. It's like the Reb Chaim Volozhiner's famous word about having misavik ba'afar agleim shal tamidei chachomim, which the Pasha Pshat, of course, is you sit in the dust of their feet, misavik from the word avok. But he learned misavik vayei avik ish imai from wrestling. Have a misavik, wrestle with them. You see, there's something called milchamto shel Torah. All right, the Gemara says, avub noi rabbi talmidoi, oyevim zelazeh babalibasayf nasim oyhavim zelazeh ve'ez vohev besufa, says the Gemara in Kedusha. But the kasha is, what do you need the vohev besufa? Let's have the vohev at the beginning. What do you need a vohev at the end? Why do we need the melchama for? And later everything is wonderful. The teretz is because the melchamta shel Torah is what creates the havana satira. That's the whole point. Without melchamta shel Torah, there isn't anything. And that's why we have always been so matzliach, chavrusis, who fight with each other. Rish Lakish was gone. Rabbi Yochanan was in misery. He was suffering. You know why? Because he got a chavrusa who agreed with him about everything. And when Rish Lakish was alive, he fought me tooth and nail, Rabbi Yochanan said. And from there comes a Torah for us. That's what it means, Milchamta Shel Torah. So it's only Besufa, Besoifa. It can't be Betchilasa. We have this ability to be superficial. We have a tremendous ability to be superficial. And in learning, you have to struggle with the learning. You have to constantly challenge yourself. Have a misavek, wrestle, but that's why it's so beautiful. Without chutzpah, without thinking you know it all, without realizing that you're standing on the shoulders of giants, without understanding that the Masorah is the truth, and I have to understand that truth, not create my own truth. That's ba'afa ragleim shel talmidei chachamim. It's misavek, but with the attitude and understanding of ba'afa ragleim. It's an amazing thing. Rashi says something. So in the yeshivas, doesn't matter where, but sometimes somebody gets excited, he says, Rashi makes no sense. But he doesn't really mean that. He means, I don't understand what Rashi is saying. So what he really means is that my brain is limited. I've never heard people go in the heat of this learning of a shtikl gemara ever say, my brain is limited. They say, Rashi makes no sense. But it's an interesting thing. The yirah shamayim of a person really should not allow us to say, Rashi makes no sense. It should not allow us. It means that there's felt bones, yirah shamayim. As felt bones, kvoy talmidei chachamim. Talking about Talmidei Chachamim, you're talking about the Masaira. Shomrei HaMasaira. What is the Gemara without Rashi? It's not Shayach Kemat. But that is the attitude that you start with. That Rashi is Rashi. It doesn't even require explanation or embellishment. You don't have to say who Rashi is, and you couldn't say who Rashi is. But you have to go to that Rashi as if that Rashi is saying something that's so important and so valuable and so true that I have to be able to penetrate the fog, break through the mechitza, and I have to understand what it is exactly that Rashi wanted to say in those few words. And when that happens, you reach the Amita Shel Torah. And when that doesn't happen, it means we are skimming the surface like skis that are being pulled, you know, by one of those boats, and you're on the surface and you're floating along. But you never plumb the depths at all. So that's the pshat that he's saying over here of the person who is the loymed sharashe dinim. It doesn't necessarily have to be lekanter. It doesn't have to. He says that he has a purpose because it says remia in the pasuk. But what I'm adding is that even if it's not remia, it could be from laziness. It could be simply because. And then it's another thing. People want to cover ground. Now, covering ground has two different meanings. One is very, very negative. And the other one, of course, is positive. Of course, if a person is going to gribbelzach on one spot for 6 weeks, he's not going to learn anything. Besides which, every time you learn something, it reinforces your ability to learn it again. It's like the Kloisenberger Rav said, how could a person be mefalpo in a Rashi and Daf Beis when he never saw the Rashi and Daf Ches in his life? There's a point to that. There has to be some understanding of the global picture. There has to be a Yediyas HaTorah that's fundamental and profound before a person ventures deeper and deeper into something. That is absolutely true. But on the other hand, this idea of covering ground, and you know, you have the Siyum of the Daf Yomi. And part of me has a lot of reverence for the Daf Yomi. And part of me has my doubts. But I'll tell you what it is. The original plan of Daf Yomi had one idea in mind. And it's kedai to mention this in the context of what the Vilna Gaon is saying. Again, we're not talking about Remiah, but just the general approach to learning. His reason for the Daf Yomi was Ve'yasu Kulam Aguda Achas Lasis Ritzayin Chabalev of Shalom. It was announced at the Knesia. It took the Olam by storm. He had one way of expressing himself. He revised it to another way. But his point was that wherever Yidden were, wherever they found themselves, and wherever they went, everybody would be learning the same Blat Gemara all over the earth. And that is an incredible idea, which is very, very unusual, that nobody ever had such an idea before. So it was into the mind of Psaza Ruach HaKodesh of Mimorim went into Rav Meir Shapira, Zechon Levroch, Chayilam Abon. He came out with this idea, and it caught on. It caught on tremendously. But what does it mean to learn the same daf every day? 3 hours, 4 hours. Mizet Sachaveka Malalot. And you learn, and you go into a daf, and into the sugya, and you open up a rishay, and you open up a chsam seifer, or whatever, and you see the sugya sakimara, and then you go the next day, and the next day, and before you know it, you finish the mesechta, and in 7 years plus, you finish shas, and a person's a shasid, and the next time around, he has built up all of that oitzer, and he goes further. Some people have better memories, some people have worse memories, but 3 hours a day is a very nice avoid. In 1 hour, in 3/4 of an hour, with one hand on your briefcase and the other hand your foot is out the door and one hand is still sleeping, or at night the person's coming back. Don't get me wrong, this is an unbelievable Mesiras Nefesh, and it's 1,000 times better than doing a lot of other things. No, there's no question about it. You cannot make something into garnish. But a person has to know what the original intention was. Because in an hour, you really can't learn a Blat Gemara. You can chazer a Blat Gemara if you are a Talmud Chacham. If you're a super Talmud Chacham and you've learned the same thing 100 times, I am very far from a super Talmud Chacham. I am very far from a super Talmud Chacham. But some mesechtas I've learned 100 times. And when I have learned it 100 times, I can turn the pages. I mamish can turn the pages and do chazara. Because it's not that I'm learning every single line be'iyun, of course. But it's so familiar to you that Parshat, you're reminding yourself. It's like an old friend that, you know, you look at his face and you remember all the stories. That's how it is. And if you have a little bit of time in Menuchas HaNefesh, which is few and far between for me lately, I can look at that Amud and I'll say, this is what the Rosh says, this is what the Shulchan Aruch paskens, and this is how the Bach asks Akasha and the Taz. Yeah, because it's all there somewhere. And it just has to be revived. It just has to be brought back to the surface. But for the person learning, and he's learning maybe the first time, and he's not necessarily sitting and learning all his life, and not everybody's endowed with kishreinus of any kind, just an average fellow. So we expect him to learn, even with an art scroll and all that they accomplish, to make it simple and to make it clear. It's not shayach kibbutz. Afal PK, it's an inyan. It's an inyan. I remember once I had... There was a fellow. The truth is, he's a tremendous light, I have to admit. So whatever he says, you know, it's got to be funny. But he tells me like this. He said, I don't even know if it was true. I think he made it up. He says to me, the Daf Yomi, ever since I discovered it, it's mamish gevaldik, I'm a changed person. So I say to him, really? But I'm waiting already for the line, you know. So I say, really? He says, yeah. I put on my earphones in the subway. I fall asleep in 10 seconds, and he says, the whole trip, I don't see one nisayon, one problem, I don't see anybody, no naket tefoyin, I'm fast asleep the whole trip. So I don't think that is necessarily the extreme of daf. But the fact of the matter is that some people probably learn and pay attention, and they don't get much more out of it than that. But you'd be surprised. So the Vilna Gaon has such an amazing gezach. He says, and this is really, sometimes people go through yeshiva all their lives and accomplish nothing.
because they don't understand what the Rebbe's talking about. They don't chap the shiurim. And they never had anybody that was metapel with them that should be able to make them understand. And some of them get very, very frustrated. But the Vilna Gaon has a medrash. The very famous medrash. It's repeated a few times in Shir Hashirim Rabbah and Kohelis Rabbah. The medrash describes the person that comes to look at the whole Shas and says, I'll never be able to learn the whole Shas. So the medrash has an eitzah. Take one blot at a time, you know, one omit at a time. Don't have to think about the whole Shas. So that medrash gives you a number of mishalim, a number of examples. For example, there's a person that comes to a tree and he sees something on the top of the tree, on one of the highest branches, that he would like to take. And he says to himself, how could I possibly reach such a tree? It's so high up, and I am so small. And he gets in despair, and he goes away. Fafal. Another person comes along, the Chacham, and he says, somebody put it there. So if somebody got it there, I can get it down. And there are a number of mishalim like that. The last mashal, however, is different. It's a mashal of a person that is hired by the day to fill up barrels with water. And he gets paid for his hours, for his day. Not by the barrels that are filled, but by the amount of time that he spends doing this. And he discovers that there's a crack on the bottom of the barrel that he was given. And all the water that goes in comes out on the bottom. So the person who is misyayish says, what's the point of filling a barrel if the water is going to come out on the bottom? So he drops the whole thing and he goes home. The other person says, that's what he's paying me to do? I get paid. What's the nafkamina? Fill the barrel, not fill the barrel. I do my job. I do what I'm told, and I get paid, and he stays on the job. Says the Gra, what is the mashal and the nimshal over here? Says, all of the others means you have koiches, you have abilities, you may not realize your koiches, you may not realize your abilities. Sometimes the scope frightens a person, so it paralyzes him. So they give eitzes, they tell you, listen, never mind, if somebody put it up on the top of the tree, you'll be able to get it down. You'll find yourself a ladder somewhere and you'll be able to climb up and you'll take it down. You'll find an eitzah. But over here, there's sometimes people that it just doesn't go. It's geitnisht, mechanisht. It's too much, it's too hard. They weren't mechunin with kishreinis to do anything at all. And it goes in and it goes out. They forget every single thing they learned the next day. And they can't. Zok de goyin. Oh, but that barrel is the cleanest barrel you ever saw. But that barrel with the hole on the bottom is the cleanest barrel. You fill it again with water and wash it out. Again with water and wash it out. He says, that yeshiva bachar who sits in the Beis Medrash a whole day and comes away with nothing, but he's sitting in the Beis Medrash a ganzen tag, and he's harving and trying and struggling to know the Dvar Hashem. And even if he doesn't remember a word, oh, but he was Isaac in the Avodah of Torah a whole day, you couldn't get a cleaner barrel than that. That's an interesting daher. So it could very well be that if a person has that kind of Mesiras Nefesh to come to a daf, and his mind wanders in and out, and the Magid Shir is going too fast, and the daf is too complicated. You know, there's a maisa with the fellow that came. It was a daf in Baba Basra, in the middle of Cheska Sabatim over there. And there's Baruch Hashem, two lines of Gemara, and the rest is Rashi, Rashbam and Tosfos. So he comes to his Magid Shir, and he tells the Magid Shir, well, today we'll be able to finish the daf in no time. There's only two lines of Gemara. So the Rebbe asks him, "What? Why do you think there's only two lines of Gemara on that daf and maybe a lot more on the other daf?" So he says, "I really don't know." So he explains it to him because there's a very big Tosfos. And says, "When there's a very big Tosfos, that means that what's going on is very complicated. It's going to take us 2 hours to learn that." But Lamaisa, all is said and done, it's a Gevaldik Azach. It is. But a Gevaldik each in its own way and its own purposes. But if a person really wants to know the daf, so there's no patent other than what the Vilna Gaon is telling you over here. You can't learn Rashi Prakim. And things take time. Time and a good Rebbe and a Ratzin and a Cheshek. You need all of that. And then you're able to be Matzliach, even though the agenda is so incredible and so vast. So that's this Pasuk of Rosh Oisek HaFremiyov Yad Chorutzim Ta'ashir. The next Pasuk, Pasuk Hey, Oiger Bakayitz, Zokta Pasuk Hazei, Oiger Bakayitz Bein Maskil, Nirdom Bakotzir Bein Mevish. Kayitz, the summertime, Kotzir is when you harvest. When he gathers, he's a maskil. The Bein Maskil is Oiger Bakayitz. And the Ben Mevish, the opposite of maskil, he is near Dom Bakotzir. He's lazy and he falls asleep. He has himself a siesta. Zokt de Gra. Oiger Bakayitz Pirush. Shahamaskil Ma'asef Hatvua Av Bakayitz Shu Acha Hakotzir. He says the Kayitz represents a time that's already after Pesach, after Shavuos, it's after the Ktzir Chitim, it's after the Ktzir Zayrim. And there's still things left to be done, and he's still collecting and collecting. He never stops. He's a Bein Maskil. Avol HaMevish Av B'Kotzer, even B'Shas the Kotzer itself, he falls asleep, he's lazy. For Inyon Shekoy Ala Torah, you know, I repeat this 100 times. I just said it by Pirkei Avos. Rav Rivkin Zecharno Livracha, he was Rosh Yeshiva Tarvadas. He was at this story's time in his 80s. And he came over to me, he says, Rav Aaron, the Ben Stakhaya, give me a bracha. And I gave him a bracha. He should have Arichas Yomim and he should be well. And he says, Vos noch? And I realized I forgot to mention his Rebbetzin's results. Ein gesund und stark. I say the Rebbetzin should be well. And you should have nachas together from all your children at 8 o'clock. He says, Vos noch? What else? And I didn't know what he wants from me. So I said, Vos will der Rebbe? Vos meint der Rosh Yeshiva? What are you, what? He says, Vos is wegen mein Laune. You understand? This is the Gra. That there's a Kayitz after the Kotzir. And in the Kayitz, he's still pushing. Still pushing. I told the Oilam, my Shver, he's 90 years old, Baruch Hashem, Li Ayin Ara. He's hurrying in Maseches Avodah Zarah to put out his 8th Sefer. Maseches Avodah Zarah. Hurrying Be'il with the Derech of the Birka Shmuel, like there's no tomorrow. It's unbelievable. And it's a lot slower than it used to be. It's a lot slower. But the tshuka and the cheshek and the it's just oiger bakayitz. Oiger bakayitz bein maskil. So he says here, who oiger ma'asif mashalom ad kva avol ha-mevish ein eloi min afilu b'kotze dahinu bin urav. Shu chazot b'kayach. He really has the kishroinus and he has a lot of strength. V'yochol ilmoid. V'oid oiger shu melochashe b'pas ha-mefurish masachah Shabbos. Dalid Rishonis Mem Negit Chabad, Chochma Bin and Das. Kamashu Kosbi Shayov, Koitzim Amr Shneim Bidas. Why are there four? Because Koitzim Amr both have a Shaykhis to Das. Kadas Koil Shneim Yominu Smoil. Yeah, we're already going into the Oilam Esal Yoinim. The Koitzer who Yaminu Ma'amir who Smoil. So, the Zeu Shahamaskil Oisem Ismoil Yamin, Ubain Mavish Oisem Yamin Smoil. For Oid Oiger Bakayitz Pirush, Moshe Kosvu, the Pasuk says in the end of Koheles, Divri Chachomik Adarvoinos, Kamasmeres, Netuim Bali Asufais, Pirush Kiyesh Bezin Yone Talmid Chochem, Echod Hu Aisa Eze Pirush, Kmarashi Vachal Vachadoime, Vabezu Shemekabitz Koma Amori Chazal Umotsumi Hemdin Kmoharosh Vachadoime. One is a Mefarish and one is Ma'asif Halochas. They collect things. Shema'as v'madinim.
Nirdem Bakotzu Neged Amafarish Laam Shudayim Lekoitzev Neisen Lifneim. So he has different pshatim and different inyanim of what this pasuk means, but the first pshat and the basic yesod is that there are some people that have the capacity and the abilities and they squander them in their youth, and there are other people that don't give up even when their koyches begin to wane and they still are at it yom and v'layla. Oiger b'kayitz and nirdam b'kotzir. Interesting. Next time, Bezus Hashem, the last two psukim on this Rishima, on this page, Brachas L'Rosh Tzadik, Ufi Rishayim Yichas HaChomos, and Zeichat Tzadik L'Vrocha V'Shem Rishayim Yirkov. As always, I think I'm going to cover more than I do. But L'maisa, the famous Gemara, that those who prepared different things and did different avodas, which were very complicated and sophisticated in the Beis HaMikdash, like making the Lechem Aponim and the Ketores and so on. So some shared their secrets and some refused to share it. And the Lugabi, some they said, Zeichat Tzadik Levrocha, and the others, Shem Rishoyim Yirkov. So Zeichat Tzadik Levrocha, we always say for somebody who passed away. There was once a meeting by us in the yeshiva, and one of the Ziknei Rosh Yeshiva made a comment, and one of the younger Rosh Yeshiva wanted to respond to that comment and discuss it further. So he was referring to what the Zokain had said just a moment ago as follows. And that which Harav so-and-so, Zichrono Livracha, just said, and all of a sudden, no one knew what to do. So I told them that I just saw, it wasn't not just, maybe a couple of years ago, but I told them that I just saw a tshuva from one of the Gedolim in the Middle Ages, and he's writing to his colleague, and he's giving all kinds of titles, and including in the titles to a colleague that's very much alive, Zeicher Tzadik Levrocha. So I hope that that helped them. But Lemaisa, I'm going to discuss grada this inyan. It's a remarkable question. There was a shaila ben aguna. The only thing they know is that somebody wrote about him, Zeicher Tzadik Levrocha. Is that good enough to indicate that he was no longer alive? And chasantna shaila. So, bekitzer, we have what to do.